I'm going to talk about the effects of alpha tocopherol, that is vitamin E, glycobetaine or salicylic acid on rice morphology, phenology, and physiology. My co-author is Dr. Lee Tapley. Vitamin E is a lipid-soluble compound which is present in the plastids, and it's photoprotective in nature, and it's a very strong antioxidant, and it helps in maintaining the membrane stability. And it plays a very important role in intercellular signaling and transport of electrons in photosystem II. It prevents oxidative damage to the cell membranes by quenching the singlet oxygens, and it helps in controlling reactive oxygen species. Glycobetaine, the second compound, is an amino acid derivative. It is involved in stress tolerance, various stress tolerance like chilling, drought, salinity, high nighttime temperatures, and it induces tolerance by maintaining the Turgor pressure, by protecting the proteins, membranes, by increasing the antioxidant capacity and photosynthetic capacity. It increases photosynthetic capacity by protecting the photosystem II and the enzymes, and it also induces antioxidant enzyme activities that plays an important role in lowering the ROS-based damage to the cells. The third compound, salicylic acid, it's a phenolic compound. It helps in inducing tolerance, various stress tolerance like chilling, then drought tolerance, thermal tolerance, high nighttime temperatures, salinity. And this induces tolerance by protecting the cells from oxidative damage, by increasing antioxidant capacities, and by increasing antioxidant enzyme activities. So all the three compounds help in lowering the ROS-based damages. The hypothesis is like, in plants we have multicellular sites where ROS is produced, like the chloroplast, mitochondria, peroxisomes, and this production of ROS causes damage to the cell, thereby affecting pigment concentration, enzyme activities, membranes, thus affecting the production of photosynthates, consumption of photosynthates, and transport of photosynthates to the sinks, thereby reducing the yield. This damaged cells can be repaired at the cost of energy, thereby increasing maintenance respiration, hence again decreasing yield. So if we apply vitamin E, glycobetaine, or salicylic acid, it might limit the damage to the cells, thereby protecting the pigments, enzymes, and the membranes, and also reducing the maintenance respiration, thereby increasing the yield. So we did two experiments in the greenhouse. The plants were grown in 3-liter pots. Cocoteague was the variety. This is the common Texas rice variety. Fertilization was done as recommended, and permanent flood condition was maintained 20 days after emergence. We applied chemicals 20 days after emergence. Number of applications were 3 on the same day. We did this to facilitate thorough absorption of the chemicals into the leaves. Vitamin E was applied at the rate of 0.014 micromoles per plant, that is 2.5 kgs per hectare. Glycobetaine, 90 micromoles per plant, 2 kgs per hectare. And salicylic acid, 0.3 micromoles per plant, that is 12.9 grams per hectare. We measured plant height, number of tillers, shoot biomass, and yield at harvest. Days for first panicle emergence and pollen germination was also determined. For leaf characteristics, we measured leaf length, leaf width, number of leaves per plant, chlorophyll content, leaf nitrogen content. All the five parameters were measured during the early grain field stage of rice plant. Leaf area was measured at harvest. For panicle characteristics, we measured the panicle length, a total number of racae, total grains, field grains, and unfilled grains per panicle. Spikelet fertility was also determined. For grain characteristics, we measured grain length, grain width, grain chalkiness. All the three parameters were measured using the wind seal. Grain nitrogen content was measured using the LECO, and 100 grain weight was also determined. For the physiology part, we measured the photosynthetic rate, stomatal conductance, internal CO2 concentration, transpiration, and respiration using the Lycor 6400. The above four parameters were measured during the day between 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., and respiration was measured during the night between 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Water use efficiency in this study was defined as the ratio between photosynthetic rate and transpiration. Membrane stability and total antioxidant was also determined. All these eight parameters were determined at early grain field stage of the rice plant. Let's see some of the results here. Effects of vitamin E, glycibutin, and salicylic acid on morphology and phenology. This column is for untreated vitamin E, glycibutin, and salicylic acid. Application of glycibutin decreased plant height by 5%. There was no significant difference among the chemicals for productive tillers, days for first panicle emergence, pollen germination, or shoot biomass. However, application of glycibutin and salicylic acid increased spikelet fertility by 14 and 18%, and grain yield by 14%. Effects of vitamin E, glycibutin, or salicylic acid on leaf characteristics. Viable leaf area, application of vitamin E increased the leaf area by 5%. However, it decreased the leaf area by 52% at harvest. We measured the number of leaves at early grain field stage, and however, we measured the leaf area at harvest. There was no significant difference among the chemicals for leaf length or leaf width, and application of vitamin E decreased total chlorophyll content by 5%. However, on an average, the application of the chemicals increased leaf nitrogen by 20%. Effects of glycibutin, vitamin E glycibutin or salicylic acid on panicle characteristics. No significant effect of chemicals on panicle length, number of racae, total grains per panicle. However, application of glycibutin and salicylic acid increased field grains per panicle by 22 and 32% and decreased unfilled grain per panicle by 29 and 42%. Effects of vitamin E, glycibutin, or salicylic acid on grain characteristics. There was no significant effect of the chemicals on grain length, grain width, and 100 seed weight. However, plants treated with vitamin E showed 5% decrease in grain nitrogen content and 12% increase in grain chalkiness. Photosynthetic rate showed no significant difference among the treated chemicals. However, application of vitamin E, glycibutin, and salicylic acid decreased loss of carbon. That is, it showed decrease in respiration rates. This was 20% decrease, and this is 40% decrease in respiration rate. No significant effect on stomatal conductance. Plants treated with glycibutin and salicylic acid showed decrease in internal CO2 concentration. For respiration, for transpiration, plants treated with glycibutin and salicylic acid showed on an average 20, and this is 30% decrease in transpiration rate, hence increase in water use efficiency. in our experiment, we did not see any effect on the photosynthesis. However, decrease in transpiration rate with the application of the chemical increased the water use efficiency. This is a membrane stability. That's a relative injury in percentage. On an average, it was 50% decrease in relative injury to the membrane when the plants were treated with glycibutane, vitamin E, or salicylic acid. However, there was no significant difference among the chemicals for total antioxidant capacity measured at early grain field stage. The important thing we noticed in this experiment was the filling of the lower part of the panicle. In rice, the upper part of the panicle is filled first, then the middle, then the lower part. And the spikelet fertility is very low in the lower part of the panicles. When we applied glycibutane and salicylic acid, it increased. The lower part is in maroon color. So you can see here in the untreated ones, the spikelet fertility is low compared to the upper part and the middle part. But when we applied glycibutane and salicylic acid, it increased the spikelet fertility in the lower part of the panicle. And when we applied the glycibutane, it also increased the grain length in the lower part of the panicle. So the grains in the lower part of the panicle were longer when compared to the untreated plants. And application of the chemicals increased the grain width in the lower part of the panicle for all the three chemicals compared to the untreated ones. So in conclusion, application of glycibutane and salicylic acid increased grain yield. It increased grain yield by affecting the spikelet fertility, that is through the increase of field grains per panicle. And this was due to decrease in maintenance respiration and damage to the cells. So it decreased damage to the cells, thereby decreasing the maintenance respiration and facilitating the transport of photosynthate from the source to the sink. I would like to thank Texas Rice Belt Warehouse and Texas Rice Research Foundation for supporting this project. If you have some questions, I'll try to answer them. Yes, sir.
What was your source of the glycibutane? Was it a commercial product or
a... It was not a commercial product. We got it from food industry. So.
You may have mentioned the conditions. What were the growth conditions and temperature extremes?
In the greenhouse, the temperatures, the average temperature, the day temperature was around 29 degrees. So it was in summer, so the greenhouse can get hot.
It's fairly warm.
For rice, not so warm, but.
I have one question. You told that you have applied output of profiterol, glycibutane, and salicylic acid at 20 days after sowing, that is early stage.
Yeah.
So what is the mechanism that operates if you are applying the chemicals at early stage and you are seeing the response?
Yes.
At later stages, that too, there is no effect on water viability?
Yes.
There is no effect on antioxidant capacity?
Yes.
And there is no effect on photosynthesis?
Mm-hmm.
But you are showing an effect on filigrain weight?
Yeah.
So 20 days after sowing, that is the initial stage plant, how that will reflect on the filigrain percentage?
I think the application of salicylic acid and glycibutane, it helped in maintaining that plant status over a period of time. So giving that initial tolerance to that temperature. And it protected the membrane stability. So it had nice... membrane where it less repair mechanism was there, so it increased the transfer of photosynthate to the grain.
Did the plant experience any stress during initial stages?
No, we started. We did not have any stress on it, so it was like
a well-grown rice.
It is well-grown rice. We don't have any stress on it, so we thought. It's the aging stress, we thought it's coming into play. So, yeah. So, through the membrane stability, that's a relative injury to the membrane.
How did you
measure it?
It was measured using some procedures. So
we use the parameter and it actually
weighed. Oh, we read the electroconductivity. So it's a big process where you have to take it. Like, we had two sets of test tubes. We maintained at 25, 55. Then we took it to the, and it was like incubator, like autoclaved it. Then we took it out. Then we measured the thing. Then there's a big formula goes into it. So.
So you measure the respiration rate,
yes.
Right? The loss of carbon, that's from total respiration rate?
Yes.
Of the tissue, right?
Yes.
And then your conclusion is that the improvement in green yield or other growth factors could be related to the reduction in maintenance respiration.
Yes.
Because the total respiration, including growth respiration, maintenance respiration,
yeah.
And synoptic respiration, how did you know this reduction due to maintenance?
When we measured, it was a fully grown leaf. So early grain field stage, we have the fully grown leaf where the growth respiration is almost negligible. So most of it is through the maintenance respiration. So when we measured on a fully grown leaf, it's mainly the maintenance respiration plays an important role.
Yeah, one more question.
I just wanted to know, maybe I missed this, but did you measure photosynthesis, respiration, conductance, and transpiration rates over time, or at one point in time?
We measured it at one point, that's during the early grain field stage.
Okay, then how can you really then conclude that these changes were responsible for the change in yield? If you measured them at several points in time, you could actually integrate the change in carbon flux over time and attribute the increased yield to that. I don't think you quite have the density of data to make these conclusions that it was a change in.
It's a part of the data I'm presenting here, but we have measured over a period of time, starting from 20 days after emergence up till harvest.
Okay.
So, but I'm just the maximum photosynthesis and the maximum respiration rates occur during the early grain field stage. So that's why I presented this data.
So I know you said one question, but so do you see those changes maintaining over time?
Yes, sir.
Excellent.
That's great. Let's thank the presenter.
Thank you.